the accountant. I need you to call Reynolds and reschedule our meeting for Wednesday. Call the people from the ad agency and ask them where my proofs are. They are a full 24 hours late now. And remember to pick up the party trays for the lunch meeting with the department heads, he barked. Claire furiously scribbled notes as she half-walked, half-ran alongside her boss. She had just caught up to his long stride when she had to dart out of the way of the mailboy's cart as it nosed into the main aisle between the rows of cubicles. Anything else, Mr. Lyle? He strode into his office, claiming the space behind his desk with the palpable authority of an editor-in-chief of an international magazine. He flipped through a stack of files on his desk as he maneuvered the well-tailored Roberto Cavalli suit jacket from his broad shoulders and tossed it across the back of his chair. He found the stack of papers he'd been rummaging for. Take these down to accounting. It has to be in by 10 a.m. Right away, Mr. Lyle. Claire took the financial statements, stuffing them under her arm, and made a final entry on her notepad as she exited the office in a huff. She quickly turned back, only ducking her head around the doorframe. Your mother called again, and you have a dentist appointment today at 3. Thank you, Claire, he called out, a phone cradled under his chin as he punched the keypad on the sleek, modern device. Claire LaFleur swung by her desk to grab her phone. She entered her notes as she waited for the elevator to arrive on the 25th floor of the Lyle Publication and Holdings building in Manhattan. The ding announcing its arrival snapped her out of her workaholic haze. She swallowed back her feelings of inadequacy as she eyed the size 2 handlers and their size 0 pack of swimsuit models crammed aboard. She squeezed inside, the models giving her size 10 frame a look of disgust, while she leaned across to punch the button for the 5th floor. She breathed a sigh of relief when they finally exited off on the 14th floor for the photo studios. Alone at last, she looked through the documents. Her eyes nearly bugged out of her head when she saw the amounts neatly columned on the right-hand side of Mr. Lyle's expense report.
$20,000 last month for business dinners and entertaining? She nearly shouted into the empty elevator. That could pay my rent for a whole year!
She threw her hands up to punctuate an angry sigh just as the elevator doors opened on the 5th floor. The handful of waiting people gave her an odd look. Claire flushed with embarrassment and returned a nervous smile as she quickly exited the elevator. She passed by the accounting's office door before she realized it. She nearly tumbled forward as she came to an abrupt halt on her high heels on the slick, polished stone floor. She pushed open the door, too forcefully, and smacked the face of an accountant turning the corner of the cubicle aisle.
"Oh my God, I'm so sorry!"
she apologized, offering him her hand to help him stand up. He seized her hand for leverage, pulling her off balance and onto him. The papers of the expense report scattered everywhere as she fell, her knee landing squarely in his abdomen. She rolled off of him, tugging down the rising hemline of her short skirt as she struggled to right herself while he curled into the fetal position, unable to breathe. A deep, pleasant timbre interrupted her flurries of apologies. "You must be Mr. Lyle's new assistant." The new onlooker extended his hand and hefted his colleague up off the floor in a singular, fluid motion. Claire mouthed, "I'm so sorry," to the injured accountant one last time before he bolted for the relative safety of his cubicle. The onlooker knelt and assisted Claire in gathering up the strewn papers.
"How did you know?"
"These are standard expense report forms, and since his is the only report I have yet to receive, it was a fairly simple process of elimination." He held out his hand to her and helped her to her feet.
"Thanks. I hope your colleague will be all right."
"Ah, John will be fine. He's used to it. He's a big D&D aficionado, so getting kneed in the gut by bullies was a daily occurrence for him in high school. I'm sure you brought back a lot of special memories for him." Claire cringed, and he gave her a soft laugh. "I'm kidding. He'll be okay." He turned, motioning for Claire to follow him, and walked to his cubicle. Claire handed over the disorganized stack of papers. Seated in his chair, it only took him a moment to set them all right again. She studied him as he perused the papers. He had towered over her, but at her petite height, most people did anyway. His chestnut hair was clipped short in a conservative cut, and the black-framed glasses did little to hide the hard line of his muscular jaw. He was clean-shaven and dressed in the standard black suit, white shirt, black tie uniform of conservative professions. Claire was willing to bet he drove a black Beamer, probably to a little house in a little neighborhood in Jersey. He looked over the information, flipping through the pages quickly.
It seems Mr. Lyle has everything in order. I'll let you know if I need anything else from him. Thank you, Miss... LaFleur. Claire LaFleur, she answered as she extended her hand to him. He took it in a firm handshake. Milliken. Henry Milliken. Nice to meet you. He released her hand, and his eyes slipped to the square-cut neckline of her blouse. Claire blushed, giving him a shy smile before dropping her gaze. She backed out of his cubicle and into the mail cart parked in the aisle. She looked at him through eyes squinted in embarrassment. He merely smiled at her. Her phone rang. "Oh, Mr. Lyle, yes, I just handed it over," she started as she hurried off. Claire idly tapped the eraser of the pencil on the desktop. The phones had stopped ringing hours ago, and she watched the minutes tick by slowly on the clock. She was bored out of her mind but dared not leave before Mr. Lyle. He was still in a meeting with a new advertiser. During the course of their meeting, they had discovered they had both been at Yale at the same time, and the meeting had turned into a stroll down memory lane over 2 hours ago. The clock chimed 9 p.m., and Claire timidly knocked on the office door. "I'm sorry to interrupt, Mr. Lyle, but I was wondering if you needed anything else for the day?" "No." He looked at the clock. "I'm sorry, I didn't realize it was so late. Of course you can go on home." He turned to his new friend. "Do you have any plans for dinner?" The perpetual frat boy advertiser threw his arm across the back of the sofa as he reclined. "No, but I'm starving." Mr. Lyle turned his attention back to Claire. "Before you go, could you make us a reservation at that new place, the one that sent the invite to the opening last week?"
"Cochon du Monde?"
"Ah, yes, that's it." He looked to his new buddy. "You're going to love this place. Barbecue and French fusion. Everybody's talking about it." Claire closed the door and picked up the phone on her desk. She dialed the restaurant. It rang only once.
"Hello, this is Claire LaFleur, Jameson Lyle's assistant. He would like to make a reservation for two tonight."
Claire searched through her bag, trying to scrounge enough for a cab ride back to her apartment. She was startled when the elevator suddenly stopped on the fifth floor. The doors opened, and in stepped Henry. He smiled at her.
"Burning the midnight oil?"
"Mr. Milliken, hi."
She moved over to make room for him. She began straightening bills. Henry eyed the money in her hand.
"I called for a town car. You can share with me if you'd like."
She shook her head. "That's all right," she replied, quickly stuffing the bills back into her purse and coming to terms with the idea of riding the subway this late at night.
"I insist."
"It's probably out of your way. Don't worry about it."
Henry turned his body towards her, shifting his weight ever so slightly forward. It was a small gesture, but Claire felt the space in the elevator shrink around them. He removed his glasses, his eyes a luminous golden-lime hue of green as they settled on her. His eyes pinned her to the floor as he spoke. "Claire, you will ride in the town car with me until I am satisfied that you have safely arrived at your destination." Though a definite command, his voice was low and even. Its rich timbre vibrated the air around her, sending a glimmer of excitement up her spine. Although his voice held no harshness, she could tell he expected her to acquiesce. She studied him curiously as he replaced his black-rimmed glasses, subtly shifting his weight again to give her more space. Claire could hear the blood pulsing in her ears and the smooth glide of the well-maintained elevator. When the ding of arrival sounded, her lungs expelled the burning sensation lodged in her chest. She hadn't realized she'd been holding her breath. She headed for the modern glass doors, Henry two steps behind her, and entered the dreamy wonderland of city lights dimmed by a light fall of snow. The town car waited at the corner. Henry took her elbow and guided her to the vehicle. He opened the door for her, and Claire entered the welcome warmth, sliding across the buttery leather seats. "I apologize, sir, but the traffic seems to be backed up all the way to the bridge." A pair of bored eyes stared at Claire from the rearview mirror as the driver spoke to Henry.
"No problem, we will get out here," Henry replied. He popped open the door, grabbed Claire's hand, pulling her out behind him.
"What are you doing?" She nearly tripped over the curb as she tried to match his long stride.
"My place is only a few blocks from here. It'll be faster to walk than to wait."
"But my apartment's on the other side of the bridge. I can't walk from here."
He stopped and looked at her. "You can wait at my place. This traffic won't last forever. When it clears, I'll call you another car." She stopped short. I don't think that's such a good idea.
His eyes raked her petite frame. Oh, I think it's a very good idea.
5 blocks later, her feet screaming in her uber-fashionable heels, Henry finally stopped in front of a posh apartment building on Central Park West. He punched a code into the keypad mounted into a decorative black granite slab on the wall. Claire gasped. You live here? He opened the door for her, and she stepped into the lush gilt lobby of the building. They were greeted by a doorman sitting behind a polished gilt counter. She held her breath and slowly spun around, absorbing every luxe detail. You thought I was just a faceless accounting drone down in the dark cellars of Lyle Publishing? He smiled as he tapped the button for the elevator.
I don't understand.
I'm not just an accountant for a publishing company. My father owns Myers & Sons accounting firm. I'm working as an independent contractor for Lyle Publications. We're helping them with an in-house audit this quarter. A soothing note chimed. The elevator doors opened, and he ushered her inside.
When you introduced yourself, you said your surname was Milliken.
It's my mother's maiden name. Apparently, my old man didn't think there was enough room on the marquee for Myers and Sons and an illegitimate son from a woman I knocked up at a party. He let out a false chuckle, trying to lighten the escalating tenseness in the small space. It's no big deal. We've worked things out, and I work for him now.
Being an accountant's son pays this well?
Being an accountant's son with a trust fund and a father trying to make up for lost time with money does.
They arrived at his floor, and the doors opened. He escorted her to a door at the far end of the hall.
If you have all this in a trust fund, why even work?
Because, believe it or not, I enjoy what I do.
Numbers make sense to me. They are truthful and orderly and easy to control and organize. And I have to be able to keep things tidy and organized. It keeps me sane.
He opened the door for her and made a flourish with his hand. Welcome to Casa de Milliken.
She stepped over the threshold into a foyer that austerely contrasted with the lush gilt of the lobby entrance. The stark, clean lines of the modern furniture lent an atmosphere of minimalism and efficiency. Henry took hold of the clutch purse in her hand and set it down on the metal and glass credenza. He dropped his phone, keys, and wallet into a decoratively molded milk glass bowl. Organized and tidy didn't begin to describe it. Everything had its place. So perfectly appointed, the space and decorations looked neither bare nor crowded. Henry removed his leather gloves, stuffing them into the pocket of his long woolen coat. He opened the hall closet and removed a polished wooden hanger.
It looks like something out of a magazine, Claire said in awe.
Her fingers stretched out, and she gingerly touched the giant, silky petal of a white Phalaenopsis orchid. Its weeping branch, studded with a shower of pearly white heads, draped the side of the credenza from a squat, clear glass planter.
Please, don't touch the petals, Henry asked as he secured the coat on his hanger, his voice shattering the thin, fragile silence.
Although he was smiling, Claire, embarrassed to be scolded like a schoolgirl, jerked her hand away, apologizing.
It's the oils, he stated. Claire gave him a questioning look.
On your skin, he explained. It sticks to the cells of the flower, inhibiting gas exchange, effectively suffocating the cells. There will be brown spots there in a day or two. Claire didn't know what to say, her eyes alternating between his face and her feet.
May I take your coat?
Henry removed another wooden hanger as she shrugged off the white pea coat and handed it over to him. He closed the closet door, excusing himself, and disappeared down the hallway. Momentarily he reappeared, having removed the austere suit jacket and motioned for her to follow him. He pointed out the half-bath, the den, in the small room he had turned into his office and library in one as he led her towards the spotless gourmet kitchen. The island had a pair of bar stools squarely tucked away at one end. The black leather cushions perched atop the spindly brushed nickel legs like regal crowns. Henry pulled one out and patted the top, motioning for her to sit. Claire approached the stool, unsure how to mount the apparatus in her fitted short skirt without resorting to unladylike measures. She found her opportunity while Henry was occupied digging through the massive Sub-Zero refrigerator. She watched him, his shirt sleeves rolled up over his forearms, the knot in his tie pulled low, and the top buttons of his white dress shirt undone.
Setting items down on the butcher block-style wooden top of the island, he closed the metal refrigerator door with a smooth click.
"Do you like cheese?"
He began slicing cubes from some exotic selections and organized them into columns on a tray. Claire laughed softly. He stopped slicing and looked at her.
"What?"
"That's the oddest question I've ever been asked by a guy I've known less than 12 hours." His lips broke into a heart-melting half-smile.
You must be a cheese novice, then."
"I'm not. I've had cheese before." "The pre-sliced cheese and milk substitute junk next to the lunch meat in the supermarket does not count."
"I've had cheese other than that."
"All right, what's your favorite variety?" Claire didn't answer him as he finished the slicing, rewrapping the cheese blocks and returning them to the Sub-Zero. He gave her another heart-stopping half-smile as he picked up the tray. He stopped by a short, wrought-iron cabinet loaded with horizontally stacked wine bottles. He selected a red and a white and held them by the necks in his free hand. "Grab 4 glasses, he instructed as he motioned towards the rack of stemware hanging upside down over the wine cabinet. "You're going to love this." He headed off towards the din. Claire struggled down off the stool, grabbed 2 pairs of the glasses, and sauntered after him. The tray set on a low glass-topped coffee table, but Henry was nowhere to be seen. Quietly, the soft strains of Etta James wafted into the room, thickened by the low crackle inherently unique to vinyl. As she knelt on the rug by the table, setting the glasses down gently, Henry stepped from a hidden alcove around the far corner of the room. "Prepare to have your senses assaulted," he said on the thick Aubusson rug beside her, popping open the bottles before pouring 2 glasses of Cabernet Sauvignon and 2 glasses of Chardonnay. He picked up a small white cube and held it up to her lips. Claire studied his face before lowering her eyes and taking the firm, smoky cube between her lips. She closed her eyes and bit into the cheese. The complex taste and smoothness washed over her taste buds as she swirled the cheese against the roof of her mouth. "Now take a sip of this," he said, handing her a glass of the thick scarlet wine. She sipped, allowing the heavy flavors of the wine to mix with the cheese. A quiet moan escaped her throat when the flavors crashed into an explosion of dark blues and rich purples on her tongue. "Most people pair wines and cheese like wines and meats, white with white and red with red. Well, it's an imperfect comparison, but you get my drift. I like to pair this vintage Gouda with a mellowed Cabernet. Its smokiness can stand up to the complex flavors of the wine." Claire swallowed. "I don't understand a word you just said. All I know is I would like another, please." Henry selected another cube of the Gouda and fed it to her. While she chewed, he selected a slice of the Colby for himself and chased it with a swig of the Chardonnay. He took the wine glass from her and replaced it with a glass of Chardonnay. "Try this," he said, swiping a creamy lump of brie on the tip of his finger. He held his finger to her lips. She looked at the sweet brie, and then at him. She stared into his eyes as she wrapped her lips around his finger, scooping the creamy cheese from the tip with her tongue. Unable to tear his gaze away from hers, he slowly withdrew his finger from her mouth and watched her take a gentle sip of the white wine. She coughed into her hand. "Are you all right?"
"Just a bit dry,"
she managed, tipping the glass in his direction as she coughed again. "I can get you a glass of water if you—" No, I'm okay." She reached for another bite of the Gouda, and he swatted her hand away. "Allow me," he said, picking up the minuscule cube and holding it out for her. She took it in her mouth, chewing slowly. She forgot all about the wine as she stared at him. He slowly leaned forward. He softly brushed his lips against hers, before pulling back, ever so slightly. Claire swallowed hard as she met his eyes. He leaned in again, brushing his lips softly over hers once more. He started to pull away again when Claire dug her fingers into the hair at the nape of his neck. Halting his retreat, she deepened the kiss, not protesting as his tongue parted her lips, slowly exploring the lingering flavors of the wine and cheese. His fingers played at the back of her head, pulling down her severe ponytail. He broke the kiss, pulling a lock of her hair beneath his nose and inhaled. He sighed. You smell like strawberries. He ran his fingers through her soft curls. She leaned in to kiss him again, and he tightened his grip on the strands of hair in his grasp. She let out a soft gasp of surprise as he angled her head up to look into his eyes. He searched her face as his right hand came around to meet the buttons of her form-fitting blouse. He popped open the first one, and her eyes widened ever so slightly. He popped open a second, and a third button, and her breathing quickened. He released a fourth button, and her tongue darted out to lick her bottom lip. He kissed her then, softly, lightly. He smiled as he felt her neck strain to deepen the contact. Using his tight grip in her hair, he tilted her head to the side. He nipped along the line of her jaw and was delighted with her little sighs of pleasure. His mouth moved down along the arch of her slender neck to the rapid pulse at the base of her throat. He suckled gently against her sensitive skin, and she arched against his lips. He tasted her soft skin, peppering the velvety smoothness with tiny nips, as he worked his way towards her cleavage. He inhaled her scent of spicy vanilla and strawberries, the red lace of her bra tickling his nose as his tongue delved deeply between the pale globes of soft flesh. Releasing her hair, his fingers made quick work of the remaining buttons on her blouse, while his lips lavished their attentions on the swell of tender flesh peeking over one lacy cup. He glanced up at her, her head thrown back and eyes closed, her lips parted. Claire. He spoke softly, yet his voice held that authoritarian edge. She tilted her head to look down at him. Half-lidded by mounting desire, her eyes silently begged for him to continue. Yes. She managed through breathy gasps. Do you want me to call a car for you? Are you fucking kidding me? She let out a throaty chuckle. I'm giving you the option to back out now. If you stay, you are consenting to be mine. Am I being clear? Crystal, she said, reaching for Henry and crushing her lips to his. After a few moments, he broke the kiss and stood, helping Claire to her feet. He swept an arm underneath her knees and carried her in his arms back to his bedroom. He sat her on the edge of the black satin duvet. She leaned back against it as he quickly lost the shirt and tie. Claire bit her bottom lip at the sight of his smooth, sculpted chest. She'd never thought she'd be attracted to the seemingly high-maintenance guys who waxed, but she had to admit to herself the sight of the well-defined pecs turned her on. She struggled to get out of her clingy blouse, and she began to unzip her skirt when he grabbed hold of her hands, halting her. He pulled her to her feet, and she waited, breathless, for what he might do next. His hands on her hips, he turned her around, before reaching for the zipper, and slowly lowering it. She could feel the solid pressure of his knuckles through the fabric as he dragged his hand down along her backside. The skirt fell to the floor in a soft whisper of fabric, and the brush of cool air on her skin sent shivers up her spine. She kicked it away from her feet just before he wrapped his hands around her upper arms and pulled her against his bare chest. The position thrust her bust line out deliciously, and her breast strained against the lacy confinement of her bra. His lips found her earlobe. Hands on the bed. She twisted around to look up at him, her features lit with curiosity but thoroughly darkened with desire. He released his hold on her arms. Slowly, she bent forward at the waist and planted her palms firmly on the edge of the bed. She wriggled her hips suggestively against the impressive bulge in his dark trousers. He clutched her hips, holding her backside against him, not moving. Claire could feel the moisture beginning to pool at the apex of her thighs as she instinctively responded to his obvious arousal. He ran his hands up her side and across her back, familiarizing himself with the planes of her body. She let out a soft, needy sigh when his hands came around her torso and pulled the cups of her bra downward, freeing her aching nipples to his touch. He lightly pinched one, and her hips twitched against him. He ran a hand down her body to her inner thigh and gently urged her to part her legs wider. His fingertips traced wicked patterns across her translucent skin as he inched his way higher towards her panties. His left hand gave her breast a squeeze as his right index finger circled lazily on the thin fabric over her clit. Her hips tipped forward as she moaned with sensation. Veritably panting under his skillful ministrations, Claire's head buzzed, swirling with both wine and the heady cloud of arousal slowly enveloping her. She heard soft mews of pleading, and then blushed when she realized they were coming from her. Henry sensed she was self-consciously withdrawing into herself. He could tell that despite the fiery lingerie, this was not something that she enjoyed often. He smiled to himself. Drawing her out of her shell would be more pleasing to him than the sex itself. "Don't move," he instructed. He abruptly released her. Claire's head snapped up as he walked away and into a closet. Moments later, he emerged. Claire's mouth dropped open when she saw his well-defined body clad only in a pair of skin-tight leather pants. No dip of muscle or curve of his thigh was left to the imagination beneath the scandalous second skin. He knelt by the gas fireplace embedded in the wall opposite the foot of the bed and lit it. The flames licked to life slowly and then burst forth into a blaze of heat that Claire could feel as it washed over her exposed skin. He unceremoniously seated himself in the masculine wing-backed chair that flanked the black marble-framed pit. His gaze settled on her, still bent over with palms flat on the bed. That look heated her core more so than the dancing flames, and she felt her insides melting down her thighs. He didn't speak a word. He released his erection and slowly caressed himself as his eyes lingered over her, bending over the foot of his bed. She melted inside, feeling wickedly sexy as she thought, "I'm doing that to him. I'm the one turning him on." After a few minutes, he stopped. He just crooked his finger at her, beckoning her over, and Claire knew instantly what would please his inner darkness. She stripped off the bra and panties, tossing them to the floor, and sank down onto all fours on the thick, pale carpet. Naked save for the black high heels, she slowly crawled to him, her eyes never leaving his. When she reached him, she gently laid her hands on his thighs. She reveled in the feeling of his muscles tightening under her grip as she edged her hands upward towards his crotch. She smiled at his little gulp of air and slight hiss when she wrapped her fingers around his cock. She licked her lips in anticipation as she locked eyes with him and then slowly lowered her mouth. She swirled her tongue around the ridge of the head before gently sucking it inside. She closed her eyes, moaning as she drew more of his length into her mouth. She felt the shiver trickle through him at the low rumble of vibration in the back of her throat. She repeated the noise, tightening her grip on him as she pumped him. His hips tipped up off the chair, and she withdrew him from her mouth, teasing the frenulum with the tip of her tongue before settling back on her heels. She could see the quick rise and fall of his chest and could tell he was trying desperately to keep a rein over his desires. He patted his thigh. "Come here," he managed, his voice strained. Obediently, Claire stood before straddling his thighs and lowering herself over him. The head of his cock, glistening with her saliva, waited just below the apex of her thighs, waiting, not so patiently, for her to lower herself onto him and join their bodies. Henry gripped her hips,
His fingertips dug into the skin, stretched taut across her pelvis and flat belly. "What do you want?" he asked her point blank. She blinked at him in surprise. Then her hand dipped between their bodies, closing over his cock as she answered coyly, "What do you think?" He grabbed her wrist, and she released her hold of him. "Be clear." "You're going to make me say it?" "I want you to communicate your desires clearly and honestly." Claire blushed, turning her face away. I can't. He hooked a finger under her chin, bringing her face back to him. "Yes, you can. Just be honest with yourself and with me." She lowered her eyes demurely as he continued. "Tell me what you want."
I want you to...
She took a deep breath, biting her lip, and decided to let go of her embarrassment. Her eyes snapped up to his, and she tilted her chin up. "I want your cock inside of me. I want you to fuck me." Henry smiled at her as he brushed a strand of her hair behind her ear. Was that so hard? He thrust his hips up and impaled her with his length. She flung her head back in a cry of pleasure as he thrust into her and then slowly retreated again. Her hips began to roll, grinding her pelvis against him and drawing him deeper and deeper into her core. Before too long, she was bouncing on his lap, gasping for breath as he desperately tried to hold on to her. The guttural cry of her completion stunned her. She let her voice ring out into the space of Henry's bedroom, for the first time uncaring of who might hear. Henry held her against him as he stood and walked them over to the big bed. He laid her gently against the silky satin before thrusting into her again. He literally knocked the breath out of her with the force of his thrusts. Claire could feel the familiar tide rising within her again, turned on by his animal abandon. Never before had her body felt so thoroughly used for someone else's pleasure, and the realization turned her on even more. The couple of other guys she'd slept with had been almost timid, constantly obsessing over their own performance, or constantly asking if they were hurting her any time she made a noise. But he fucked her hard, his efforts causing tiny droplets of sweat to form on his brow. When she cried out again, her body convulsing around him, he came undone. He filled her to the hilt, emptying himself inside of her, and he collapsed on top of her, breathless. Henry slowly realized that Claire was stroking his hair. He was still buried within her. It was an odd sensation he felt coursing through him. The heavy languor of intense satisfaction flowed through his veins, filling his limbs with lead. He could feel himself drifting in and out of consciousness as sleep threatened to overtake him. With a concerted effort, he managed to roll onto his back, relieving her petite frame of his weight. Smiling, Claire propped herself up on her elbow, looking down at him as she spoke. "I would never have guessed a nerdy accountant like you could be such a great lover," she said, her tone very tongue-in-cheek. "It just doesn't quite add up. I mean, who would have thought? The glasses, the suit, the tie." He cut her off with a kiss, deep and thorough, as he let his tongue lazily probe within her lips. "Leave the adding up to me. I am the professional, after all," he said, chuckling as he pounced on her and rolled her beneath him. He kissed her neck, smiling as he heard her quiet moan against his ear. "Yes, sir," she replied with a sigh.